Associate professor at Indiana University's Media School, Joan Hawkins, is helping organize a conference and festival marking the 50th anniversary of a landmark, revolutionary year in global history, titled Wounded Galaxies 1968, Paris, Prague, Chicago. The conference runs from February 6th through the 11th on the IU campus and at various venues throughout Bloomington. A pre-conference festival begins with the showing of the horror film Night of the Living Dead on Thursday, February 8th at the IU Cinema. Joan speaks with WFHB's Michael Glab about the taste politics behind the film for the latest edition of Big Talk.
You've got some interests. Among them...
Boy, do I have interests.
Yeah. Feminist theory, of course.
Yeah.
But horror cinema, yeah. The avant-garde.
Yeah.
And something called taste politics. Yeah. What's taste politics?
Well, taste politics is a recognition of the fact that, you know, we often talk about taste as though it were a universal, an ahistorical universal thing. So we say something's in good taste or it's in bad taste.
Yeah, yeah.
And along with that comes a kind of more pernicious notion that you can recognize what's art, what's good art, and what's low culture, what's not so good art. And taken to its furthest extreme, like what's art, what's pornography, what's art, what's body genre. And taste politics says that actually this thing that purports to be sort of a universal is actually very historically and class inflected.
Uh-huh.
So it's a certain notion of middle class, middle brow values that get established as the normative, and that anything that diverges from that can be seen in bad taste. And we argue about this endlessly. It's why we have had trials for books like Naked Lunch,
yeah,
for poems like Howl, for books like Ulysses, things that now are recognized as great literature and are taught in English language classes, which were, at least in the case of Naked Lunch, was originally published by Grove Press, where Grove Press had made its money publishing pornography.
Hmm.
And so the trial of Naked Lunch was, you know, is this porn or yeah. Is it not porn? Sylvia Beach in Paris published Ulysses on her own dime.
Yeah.
And that was... we couldn't import it into the United States. It was seized at the border. Lawrence Ferlinghetti had, you know, City Lights was, and it wasn't even Lawrence Ferlinghetti. It was the poor desk clerk at City Lights who sold this FBI agent his copy of Howl. He was
right.
The poor dude who was arrested and, you know, put on trial for this thing. And then Lawrence came in sort of as a backup because he had actually helped to publish it. But and those trials, it always revolves around, like, is this art, meaning is there some higher purpose to just titillating the sentences?
Yeah, or prurient interest.
Right, or is it just prurient?
Yeah.
And one of the things that taste politics says is, you know, those dividing lines aren't always so easily drawn. That... I could go on and on because it's this area that I work in, but I think, you know, people, we embrace like European art cinema and we think of it as art cinema. And yet when it first came into the United States, the Hays Code was still operating.
Right.
When European movies started coming here in a major way. Well, according to the mandates of the Hays Code, if you did not have the Hays Code seal of approval, which said no fornication on screen, no homosexual anything on screen, you couldn't display drug use, you couldn't mm-hmm. display miscegenation, you had to have, you know, twin beds even for married couples.
And the bad guy had to come a cropper.
He had to come a cropper. So much so that when they made the original Scarface, which ends with the bad guy being killed, the Hays Code office kicked it back. Will Hayes' office kicked it back and said, you still have to add something to show that, so that people won't think that it's still okay. So they not only had to have him killed, they introduced that entire hysterical scene at the end of Scarface where not only is he going to be killed, but he goes into absolute hysterics. He's whining, he's crying, he's shuddering in the corner saying, you know, why did I do this with my life, yada, yada, after being Mr. Tough Guy through the whole film. Anyway, I digress. But But when art cinema first started coming into the United States, and we didn't have, you know, landmark cinemas. We didn't have, like, the small art house theaters yet. They were going into these bump and grind houses where you didn't need a seal of approval to be shown. So they were being shown down on Times Square. They were not being shown, you know, uptown. They were being shown way downtown. And so Taste Politics says, you know, we have to examine this thing that we call taste, and we have to be willing to look at how these things are used, how high culture's invested in a lot of things that we would ordinarily consider to be in bad taste, is certainly invested in things that at times have been called prurient, at times have been called pornography, and that low culture is rarely just low culture. One of the films that we're going to be showing, Night of the Living Dead, there's a beautiful sequence in Night of the Living Dead where this young woman, Barbara, who's seen her brother torn apart by zombies, and she's now in this farmhouse, and she's going to become catatonic very soon. And she's already in terrible shock. But Ben tells her to go find some wood so he can board up these windows. And she does that. She goes into the living room and she sees this little, it's like a lantern, a mirror lantern. And she turns it on and there's like this exquisite sequence in the middle of this movie that just has these mirrors catching the light and reflecting her face. It serves no narrative purpose in the movie. There's no reason for it to be in this movie. It's just this pure aesthetic moment in this film that was made for $100,000. It couldn't even get into mainstream movies at the beginning. It was just being shown in drive-ins. Yeah.
It was considered schlock.
It was considered schlock. It's one of the greatest movies made in 1968, according to me, in my opinion. It's certainly the most, I think it's the most radical film made about race.
Yes.
In the 60s, you know, when you think that Sidney Poitier was our great African-American actor at that time, and he was making these movies as necessary and wonderful as they were, but where he always played this man who with great dignity and forbearance and patience would put up with the Rod Steigers of this world and go through, you know, episode after episode after episode after episode with them where they would be racist and they would be horrible to him, and then would finally, at the end of the movie, they would grudgingly acknowledge that he was, you know, intelligent, and they would finally call him Mr. Tibbs.
Right.
So at the same time that that film is coming out, where your black hero is this man who is a hero because he's like this Zen master, you have Ben in Night of the Living Dead, who is pummeling Harry Cooper throughout the movie as these two men, it's a patriarchal battle. Who's going to control the resources of the farmhouse? But it's a black man and a white man.
Yeah.
And it is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And at the end, Ben shoots Harry. And I mean, one of the things that's really amazing about that film is that the very end sequence, Ben should be the surviving hero. And of course, in the logic of 68, he cannot be. And so there is this reversal at the end of the film where white power is once again reinscribed.
That was IU Media School Associate Professor Joan Hawkins speaking with Big Talk's Michael Glab. Tune in every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. for a new full edition of Big Talk.